There's so many circles and turns up here that are like, okay.
I won't allow myself to watch TV.
And then I was doing GPS on my phone, and it couldn't look into your location. So
oh, really?
Marcus Law.
Well, I was, I had no idea where I was going to park, but I got the light coming in from Madrid, and I saw Ron's car. I pulled over into a little, it used to be a Dunkin' Donut or something there, and I waited. I knew he'd be coming through the light, and I was going to follow him, and so I did. Except he took the only parking spot available in the parking lot. I guess the chairman can do that.
I don't think he's listening to you.
Yeah. I don't think he is either.
And he saw that coming.
Okay, but I have your attention. I'll call the meeting to order because time is a problem today, as it is every day. Continue eating your lunch. I certainly don't mind. I'll call the meeting to order. And our first order of business is to go into executive session to discuss personnel matter. There's a reason for the executive session. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn to executive session. If that's approved, then I would ask everyone to leave, except the college council members, and take your lunch with you, maybe. Do I hear? Moved by Tim, second?
Second.
Second by Roger. Any objection? Thank you very much. Meeting back to order, and let the minutes show that no action was taken in executive session or during executive session. Well, it's not on my agenda, and it may be on yours or not, I'm not sure, but I'd like to move around a little bit and act on the Distinguished Citizen Award and also the Excellence in College Service Award. I think all the college council members have had information on the nominees. The chair would entertain a motion for the Distinguished Citizen Award at this time.
I would move that we recognize Town Supervisor David Button.
Is there a second? Second by Danelle. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Also, the College Council awards the Excellence in College Service Award. Again, the chair will entertain a motion to award that service award. Dr. Burke?
Yes.
And who would you?
Bessinger.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Tim? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carrie, thank you very much. So, an Excellence in College Service Award will be Joanne Fassinger. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Thank you very much. You had a copy of the minutes from our last college council meeting. Again, the chair will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Tim. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Roger. Any corrections, additions, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. New business, advisory committee appointments. Any information that would like to that you'd like to hear about any of the recommendations for the advisory committee appointment? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to approve those recommendations.
So moved.
Tim, second?
Second.
Roger? Any discussion, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Approved? Opposed? approved. Thank you very much. Use of facilities by third parties for free speech. Randy Smitsky will tell us about free speech.
I will try to make it a brief speech. Keep up with your pace here and not slow the meeting down. Very quickly, the SUNY Legal recommended that we create this document after other campuses had either done so or run into some questions in regards to third parties speaking on campus. So they actually forwarded what they felt was a best policy example from, I think it was SUNY Albany. So we actually took SUNY Albany's document and put a SUNY Canton spin on it in terms of locations on where third parties could come and speak at SUNY Canton, and also just some other general things that would make our document different than, say, some of the other SUNY campuses. But this document is very much similar to documents that are being passed all around SUNY in regards to third parties coming and having the ability to speak on campus. It just basically lays some groundwork, so in case we do get requests, which happen every once in a while, but not all that frequently. When we do have those requests, we have guidelines to act appropriately. So it's more of a legal type of document where we'd be able to follow the steps that we've laid out, as opposed to trying to take a guess at best practices. We've laid them out and wish to do so.
Any questions for Randy?
Randy, how do we deal with someone that just shows up on the campus to want either demonstrate or just to exercise their free speech?
Yeah, and that's kind of what this is what this is about, I think. You know, for the most part, and we've had it happen on occasion in the past, and I think the biggest thing is are they being disruptive? Are they causing any sort of disruption from students or faculty and staff, that sort of thing? And if they're not, I think generally speaking, we would allow them to exercise those rights. One thing that this does is kind of directs them in where they could go, where they should go, whether or not they can use a microphone and amplifier and things like that. So this also allows us to say, well, you know, we need X amount of time ahead of time before you come on campus. So, you know, we're a pretty friendly campus, quite honestly. So if someone comes on and it's not something that's disruptive, I think there's only been, in my 6 years here, there's only been two or three instances where that's happened, and we haven't had any disturbances. We haven't really had to kick anybody off. So
prior to this, we just managed it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and this gives us just a little bit more structure in managing that, and I would suspect that we would continue, if we continue problem-free, that it wouldn't change much. But if it does, if somebody is disruptive, then we at least have this to kind of go by and cover ourselves and our actions to ask them to leave if that's necessary.
Religious groups, how would they handle, or would be handled on the policy?
You know, I think that probably falls within the same realm. That it, you know, if they're not disruptive, that they, you will give them a spot. But if they, you know, if they are disruptive, or if there's some problems, then we can address it appropriately. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't think we would not allow someone.
Is that because we're potentially disruptive?
It could be. Yeah, it could be. And one of those times that someone came, it was sort of a religious based thing. But again, they weren't being disruptive, so.
Okay.
They were quite cooperative. We asked them just to move from one spot to another, and they were fine, and we were okay with it. But it helps us manage it.
Any other questions? Discussion? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to the adoption of the facilities used by third parties for free speech.
So moved.
Moved by Tim. Second, Dr. Burke. Any further discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
You're welcome. Is there any old business? Anyone aware of any old business? Okay, if not, my report is very brief. I would like to thank all of the College Council members today for making a sincere effort to attend what turned out to be, in Roger Linden's word, a historical meeting with SUNY Potsdam. Danielle pointed out that we had met previously at Prince's 1844 house as a group, but that was an informal meeting. It was not a formal meeting. Today was a formal meeting, so those individuals attending today made history between the two colleges. So I do want to give a special thank you to the college council members that were able to make it today. We find it extremely difficult to get a quorum, mainly because of Dick and Cloanne being in Florida for the winter, and we have a vacancy that is not being acted upon, even though a nomination has been made for a new college council member. But that individual shouldn't feel singled out, because no college council appointments have been made under the present governor to date. But once we get that vacancy filled, that certainly is going to help us. And again, thank you very much. And I know it's hard for Tim. I keep thinking, well, it's hard for Dr. Burke to get away. Well, then I could, well, it's hard for Tim to get away. Well, it's hard for Roger to get away. Well, Danielle is doing an internship, so it's hard for her to. I'm the only one that just sees get away. I'm not doing that. But I do appreciate it.
One-man quorum.
One-man quorum. I did make the suggestion today during that joint meeting that maybe we ought to invite members of the press to be college council members, because they seem to show up at the meetings. But to just relate to you, that joint session today, we did pass unanimously the resolution that, I don't know if I have a copy with me or not, supporting the idea that a joint CFO for both campuses was not such a good idea. We felt that duties of each CFO and each campus at the present time is so vastly different that one individual probably there's not an individual out there that could do it right now. Maybe down the road, if the two campuses, the CFO's responsibilities were more similar, maybe that might be an option, but we just feel that it's not today. The other suggestion that Roger Linden made today was that since we met on their campus today officially, that we might share a joint meeting each academic year, switching back and forth campuses. And in addition to that, giving a tour to each other's campus for the college council members. Because I'm sure there are members of the college council in Potsdam that are not entirely sure of what we offer, and I was telling Danielle on the way back that we think of SUNY Potsdam, at least in my mind, if you hear the word or the college SUNY Potsdam, you think immediately of Crane Music. That's it. Well, I'm sure there are lots of other, particularly in the arts, programs that are offered at SUNY Potsdam that we may not be aware of. So I thought that was a good idea. We will not be able to do it, obviously, during this academic year, but next year, I think there's an excellent idea. And I did throw in a little credit to the chancellor, saying that maybe that it's given us the opportunity to start maybe being more cooperative between campuses and more cooperation and understanding between the two. So, you know, it doesn't hurt to put a little sugar out there once in a while. But that's really all I have, other than with the status of Dr. Kennedy. I think you all know as much about that as I do, and Charles may be talking about that a little bit in a few minutes. At the present time, as far as I'm aware, there's absolutely no movement. As far as I know, Dr. Kennedy will be leaving the campus at the end of the academic year for all intents and purposes. I know that Charles will be talking to you about the resolution that the faculty assembly passed, offering or making the suggestion that Dr. Kennedy be appointed interim president, which I think is an excellent idea, and it would be a happy meeting ground maybe for both sides. We just got to get this thing done with and move on at some point. Is there anything else I should be talking about? I thought I had a list somewhere. Do you have any questions about anything that, it's been a long time since we met, obviously. Nothing else?
Ron, I'd like to see us maybe create some bullet point. As June O'Neill, she was very eloquent today in explaining really the purpose behind the resolution that we passed, but I would like to see us create some bullet points so that members of the college council, members of the college community can speak a little bit more specifically and eloquently, but easily, as to why we're saying now. You know, a couple of my conversations with people out there that know I'm on the college council just see this as, we just want to keep our CFO. And when you tell them why and the differences in the two positions, they understand it. But I think we do a good job when we talk about it officially, but in those private conversations, maybe a cheat sheet, if you will, so that people can quickly say, these are the reasons why.
I think that's an excellent idea. In fact, before our meeting today, I talked to Chris because I was not sure. I had a pretty good idea what Chris's responsibilities are here, and there were two or three that I missed completely, and I'm sure with Potsdam that's the same. Do you think we could do that? Yeah. We try to do that.
And to go along with that, could we issue a press release maybe? Because the press being there today, I mean, we all know how they can sort of spin things a little bit. And I like John very much, but I, you know, sometimes the reporting in that little soundbite isn't enough. And what Tim has experienced in conversations might just be perpetuated by whatever that news clip is this evening. So if we could proactively, maybe proactively isn't the right word, but at some point put out a press release that speaks directly to why we felt so strongly as a council on both sides that we needed to have this resolution. Because what this shouldn't do is create jobs. And quite honestly, if we were to simply call them CFOs in both of the respective campuses, then the other duties and responsibilities that they currently have will have to be borne by someone. And who would that be?
And then the other thing, if you have the press release and the community is educated more about it, then the support will be more for the college, as you know. So definitely both what you said is very important. So I would say that we should do that, yes.
I think we have sort of, there's a little bit of some damage control, I suppose. A lot of folks believe that it was feasible to consolidate the president into one for the two campuses. There were a lot of conversations that supported that. Some of our colleagues over at SUNY Potsdam seem to be going down that road. So, you know, now are we just simply saying no to everything the chancellor is recommending we try to do? And that's a... That could be problematic. It could come back to get us, I think. If we can avoid that, again, with, you know.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because I have heard that, and the public perception is that, well, you didn't want to combine the president. Now you don't want to. What's the next thing you don't
right,
want to combine?
Right.
But I think you're right. Could we do something like that, Randy?
Absolutely.
And what I would ask you to do is, if you could do that, and then we'll do it from the council side,
right,
completely.
Right. I would say that it would come from the council.
Right.
You know, that you would issue the press release, but we could help you distribute it.
Right.
And we'll work on that this afternoon.
Okay. Could we do that as a joint, do you think? Asking the SUNY Potsdam Council, because it was our joint resolution, at least in this particular case? I don't know if that is don't want us to...
I'm certainly open to that. I guess the question would be, if you want to reach out to
sure.
Potsdam and see if they're open to that,
right.
Or if you'd just rather proceed with, here's, we could, you could do it separately, you could do it together,
yeah.
Either way. I do like your thought process that if we do issue one separately, that we also kind of extend the thanks to SUNY Potsdam
yeah.
Council and working cooperatively
okay.
with us, and that,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
to make
perfect.
Sure that the... atmosphere of the meeting is probably portrayed in the release as well.
Okay.
An important piece of that is that we were looking at shared services long before we were asked to. I think that's an important piece.
And that continues. I think somehow you have to weave that into it, because
yeah.
there is a lot of cooperation. I mean, our purchasing people met on Friday, and they're looking at ways that Potsdam is going to be leasing some vehicles. Well, we're going to join them in that. And So there is cooperation going on at a different level than the administrative level.
Yeah, and that's important. And the other thing that just came to mind, Danelle couldn't get over the fact, Danelle rode over and back with me, that the two college councils had never met before. She said, never? Once? I said, no, never once. So again, maybe it is starting something that we're really going down the road of shared services and cooperation.
Well, your observation in that meeting was, I hope the press does make mention of that, because I think that was exactly dead on, that we are, in the spirit of cooperation, attempting to do what is being asked of us, but also doing it methodically without just knee-jerk reaction, doing something that we may regret. So the amount of research that's gone into this exercise is something that was necessary, and you know, there'll be those positions that we take that will be in agreement with the chancellor, and there'll be those that are just because of the circumstances, it doesn't work.
And perhaps we can portray that in the press release, that although one of the takeaways from that meeting was the in regards to the CFO position, we could also portray the fact that it's a historic meeting that'll pave the way for future shared services. You know, it's all in the way you look at it. And I think, quite honestly, it seems to me anyway that the council members are looking at it as just that. You know, there are some opportunities down the road for us to share services, despite the fact that maybe this one wasn't the first big one or the ideal match for both schools.
Any other suggestions or comments? Okay, thank you very much, Randy, for doing that for us.
Absolutely.
Dr. Fitter.
Well, first thing, to piggyback on that, the faculty is looking at the other side of the coin, not sure the revenue generation. We sat down with the two folks who were doing the study, and we proposed ways on the faculty side that we can work with the faculty over there to not share services on the other end, which is cost cutting, but combine and enhance programs so that we can form what could be called a regional polytechnic institute. Like on our side, we have the applied psychology degree, they have a bachelor's of arts in psychology, and then looking at jointly with our faculty and their faculty, doing other at the master's level work, where our contribution is not at the two-year level, but at the four-year level with them, and then we can work together. Because we have a strong online presence, we can, even on the business side, we could offer MBAs online if they'll, you know, if we can pass this through. So there's not just shared services side, but there's also a lot of revenue generation that if the faculty get together, we can do a lot of revenue generating also. So on the faculty side, we're not looking at shared services so much as how can we generate more revenue, and that's an ongoing discussion. Aside from that, collectively, faculty decided to make a rather innocuous resolution, something that we could all agree on. We recommend or request that Joe Kennedy stay on. Obviously, we don't feel it's in SUNY's best interest to have him go down to Albany, although he might be valuable there. But obviously, from his service here during the fire and afterward the fire, it's very important that we keep him on until such time as that. And so we have this particular resolution that we keep him on until and after the certain nationwide search, because he's got two more years on the contract. We feel that it's in the best interest to do that. Kind of a dog bites man type resolution, nothing earth-shattering. And the resolution is just something internal to the college council to say this is the sensing of the faculty. Some faculty wanted to go a little further and starting what I would call a beauty contest or a homecoming king and queen contest. If Joe is not chosen, which of the VP should be chosen after that, and we felt that that would cause a lot of unity problems, and we wanted to do things in a unifying sense. And so this is the resolution we came out with collectively. Karen, anything else to add?
No.
Okay, good. All right. That's all I have.
Any additional?
What is the sense of SUNY Central, though, if we're not searching for a replacement? I mean, the school year is coming rapidly to an end. What happens, I guess, for for my edification, I'm
could
not...
Could you help me clarify that question of coming to an end? I'm not sure I understand what you mean. In other words, coming to an end.
My understanding was that at the end of the school year, he would no longer be president. Is that right?
That is correct. So what should happen is an interim will be appointed by Chancellor Zimfer.
Okay.
And so hence the resolution to say, dear college council, please, if you have a chance to enact or make recommendations, the faculty would like Joe to stay on as opposed to Chancellor Zimfer choosing an outside resource who on day two could go, no, everybody's fine with the mergers. Go ahead. You know what I mean? So that we have our own say in who the interim president is.
Okay, so maybe more specifically, I'm hoping you have some sort of crystal ball, but has it been in anyone's experience something similar to this where what is the chancellor likely to do, or can we even predict that?
I don't think you can. Maybe I could say this. The last time when Dr. MacArthur retired, he retired abruptly, but with, I don't know how much notice, not a lot of notice, maybe 3 months. I'm not sure of that. But at that point, SUNY Central would appoint an interim president as soon as Dr. MacArthur retired. And at that point, I was chair of the college council, and I talked with some of the VPs that were here at that time and agreed that Dr. Bob Frazier, who had just recently retired as vice president for
academics,
if he would agree to it, if he would act as interim president. And we contacted Dr. Frazier, and he agreed to. He was very happy to do so. And the faculty at that time, I think, were pleased because it was a person familiar with the campus. He was known to the campus. And Dr. Frazier knew as interim president his responsibilities basically were just keep things on even keel. And so we made that recommendation to the chancellor at that time. I think it was Bruce Johnstone, I think. And that was accepted. I don't think the atmosphere is the same. Naturally, SUNY Central, one would think that the faculty's input should be very important. And I've said this before, I really don't know if it's going to be that important this time or not, or if anyone else's opinion is going to be.
And given the changes that SUNY Central has made with regard to who has authority, ultimately, it rests with the chancellor.
Right.
End of story. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
We have no, as a college council, say in the matter.
The only basis we have is under state ed law that clearly indicates once it's known that a campus that becomes aware that there's going to be a vacancy for president, it's up to the chancellor to charge the college council to begin the search process. She has not done that.
And let me just add that based upon, Nancy speaks during the University Faculty Senate meeting, and I posed a general question about one president, one campus, and Karen, could you talk about meeting the benchmarks?
The response to that question was that the expectation was that every SUNY campus would meet the benchmarks the Board of Trustees set back in December, and the expectation was that every SUNY can every SUNY campus would continue to have its own president. And she went, I understand, you don't want to share presidents. I got the message. No one will be forced to share a president, providing they meet those benchmarks. The only reason she said if two campuses asked, because Cobleskill and Delhi is not perfect, but it's not as bad as, I guess Cobleskill had a really bad president they weren't happy with at all. So their take is half of the same president is better than none, or better than a crazy one. Sounds like the same. But that,
pretty
I don't
low
know
bar,
what the
isn't
real
it?
One. But their take is half a good one is better than what we had.
Make sure that winds up in the bullets. Yeah.
So they were, I guess there's a little, she did say she would not force campuses to share presidencies, providing they met the benchmarks. She never said anything about this particular campus or how she would handle transitions. However, Ken O'Brien, president of the Faculty Senate, and a staff member from the Chancellor's office did communicate to me that their expectation, and they were very careful to phrase it as their expectation, not the Chancellor's words, would be that when Dr. Kennedy left, an interim president, or there's another term, not president, but chief
officer in charge.
Officer in charge. That term was also used, would be appointed by the Chancellor.
And is anyone but me thinking that she could choose Dr. Schwaller? Are we right back where we started? Is the concern I have, and that is a very, very underhanded thing for her to do. And again,
just realize that we as the faculty came out very strongly.
Okay.
In my last press release saying that please do not do that.
Okay.
And that hasn't changed, or at least on the faculty side. We were very adamant, and that was a very major talking point last October for me.
And there's nothing to prevent her from just picking somebody in Albany.
Or coming down to the college chair and say, pick a VP.
I'm inclined to agree with Karen. I think if she appoints an interim, I think it's going to be someone from Albany.
Okay.
Because I think she wants to make sure that she knows exactly what's going on in this campus at all times.
Okay.
And if I were in that position, that's probably what I would do. And we want to keep in mind, too, this is for the council members. There are people that attend our college council meetings that serve at the pleasure, basically, of the chancellor. So if people say something or do not say something, don't take that as being in agreement or disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do. I think that it's going to be down to an interim. And to answer your other question, Roger, I would guess there's a 5% chance that she might do the other.
Okay.
That's my opinion, based on nothing.
One concern that I would have when Karen talks about benchmarks, and Chris, you'd be much better to speak about this than I would, but it seems that benchmarks are being considered a percentage of the budget that is going toward, whether you look at it as administration or percentages going toward faculty, and how that's looked upon, because I think there's already, or at least previously, has been some disagreement from what our percentage might be. How is each side, not that we're choosing sides, but how is SUNY counting those percentages, and how would you view those percentages from the CFO perspective here at SUNY Canton, and should that be a continued concern?
It is a continued concern, because one thing that we have to be ever conscious of is that instructional and student services is where we want to see our funding going towards, not towards the administrative side. And so that is the benchmark that they have set for us. And I think by 2014, there has to be like a 5% shift.
But the issue is that two number code, right? Is it a new bur or whatever? It's the business unit type of code, isn't it? The
NCUBO, right? NCUBO numbers,
right?
And that's all driven from the chart of accounts that every campus uses.
Now let me ask you a broader question. And this is not going to happen, but if it's determined our faculty is underpaid, what I'm just saying is can you goose the numbers if the faculty was paid more? But what I'm trying to say is if technology colleges, generally the professors are paid less, then essentially we're fighting an issue with one arm tied behind our backs. Because you can simply say, well, you know, at Albany, we're going to have a bunch of professors, a bunch of TAs, and a bunch of other people who are going to be on that code. Whereas in us, you know, we have problems.
The codes are the similar, and what they're comparing is us against ourselves from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not and they look at it by sectors, and they determined at one point that the comprehensive colleges spent 52% of their budget on instruction and student services, and we only spent 30-something, or whatever the crazy number was. And we proved them wrong, and so they don't say that anymore. They just say we have to show an increase in instructional costs and student services. So we're comparing ourselves against ourselves.
Right. Well, what I'm just saying is an overuse of adjuncts may be problematic with the numbers, yes or no?
That's instructional cost. So it's all instruction.
Okay.
Chris, what you mentioned there, so that's how they've danced around that?
Mm-hmm.
They're just not simply discussing it alone. I thought at one point that Brian Huxley, he's the CFO for
mm-hmm.
SUNY Central, that they were going to address that issue.
Well, they're working on it, but they don't. Once I showed them our numbers and how we arrived at our numbers, and they said, oh, okay. And so it's still out there, but they're now looking at all the campuses because we were not the only ones that had that issue with them.
So will we be able to use that in our report that, in fact, we are spending 51, or they just...
We can run those numbers, sure. For the July report, we'll be able to do that.
But will they count that as... that there? Were, do you see what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
Before,
no,
were saying
should.
39,
yeah.
But now it's actually 51.
They can run the same exact reports that we can, so they should be able to do that with no problem.
You know, from the PR perspective, that it is frustrating because
mm-hmm.
that was probably their loudest retort of us saying, you know, this doesn't make sense, and I don't think you're measuring us correctly. But their immediate reaction back, and Morgan Hook was the PR person at SUNY at the time, was, you're at X percentage, and that's way too low, and it's way below everybody else in SUNY, where in fact that wasn't accurate. You know, it's not like anybody's coming out for a retraction on that, but that was, it made the college, I think, look bad. It made the college look like we were top heavy, which we obviously aren't. I think we all knew that, and certainly Chris's numbers would reflect that, but it was frustrating.
Any further questions for Dr. Finner, or comments for Karen?
And if you have a question, each sector is able to ask Chancellor Zimfer in April a question. I mean, I got my question at the top of the list. It was one of the first ones asked. So if you want to surreptitiously throw in a question, then give it to Karen and I, and we'll see if we can ask it during our sector, because I'm the sector on the campus governance leader, and she's the sector for tech.
David, any comments, suggestions?
No, I mean, it's interesting to hear the discussion, and for the most part, discussions I've been outside of. I think about the best thing I could bring to the table is to report on academic activities. It's not on the agenda, but I can say we're working very hard and making very significant progress in getting ready for a number of self-studies next year for ABET. Middle States. And that's been the focus of our efforts. And we're in meetings all the time. So this is a change of pace.
Well, that's good to hear that the focus is still there for the true mission. Anything else to come before our brief meeting this afternoon? If not, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I'd
like to make a motion to adjourn.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Nobody wants to leave.
Danielle made the motion to adjourn the last one. You have some place to go?
Poor Danielle, I put her on the spot.
Is there a second?
A second.
Dr. Bird, all in favor? Opposed, carried. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
There's lots of cookies left over, too, so make sure you grab some. I'd have to eat them all myself.